Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, hey, everybody. This is Lori Jean on Dangerous Freedom Radio. So many of you guys have asked, like, why did I pick the name Dangerous Freedom? And so I'm just going to address it one more time for those of you who are new. Dangerous Freedom comes from our forefathers, Thomas Jefferson, back in the days, right, when you wrote the, they helped write the Declaration of Independence and all of the Bill of Rights and everything for us as a country. And he said, I prefer dangerous freedom over peaceful slavery. And that's how I have felt my whole life, but also just especially this last year with COVID. So dangerous freedom, like, why is freedom have to be so dangerous, right? But it is essentially, and it's always been that way. It's always been dangerous to be free because there's an element of risk in freedom, isn't there? And there's an element of risk in living life and not being so fearful all the time and just like trusting God or having that relationship where you feel at peace, you know, despite chaos all around you. So freedom, though, in our country has never been free. It's always cost people something, right? Because people had to fight for it, and it's always been dangerous. Fighting for freedom is no joke, and I hope that those of you who have parents in the military, maybe spouses or yourself, you're in the military, and I just want to stop and say thank you for helping fight for our freedom, and I hope that you guys are doing that in every sense of the word, because truly, we are at a precipice in this country and in the world for setting the standard for what it means to be autonomous, what it means to have freedom, what it means to have choice. And I can't think of a better time to be born, in a sense, to have that responsibility and yet accountability, because people every generation have had to fight for our freedom in this country. And it's come to hand-to-hand combat battles, right? Like back in the Civil War and all these things. So just considering that, like, back in the day, my great-grandfather fought in World War One, and my grandfather fought in World War Two, and now I feel like the torch has kind of been passed on to me, and even though we're not in a great war, we are, you know? Because, like, even though we're not fighting like we are, we're fighting for this freedom and against the enemy, and it's not even foreign anymore as an enemy. It's domestic. It's here. Whether the people came here and started infiltrating and buying up our land, which is what I've heard of China and a bunch of other places, right, that they just bought our ranchers out at 2 to 3 times the cost of the ranch property, and that they've been doing that for years, and they've infiltrated, like, I mean, our movie theaters, for example, like AMC movie theaters is owned by China. Like, who knew, right? Like, I was going to AMC for so long, not even realizing I was supporting this, you know, Chinese Communist Party. So, and there's so many things that we make from China here that we're selling, and we're not even, I'm not even against Chinese people, but my point is we have to be a nation that is able to be self-sufficient. Like, yes, we want to trade with people, and yes, we want to deal with others and like have good relationships with these countries. But on the other hand, we also have to be self-sustaining. Like, if some stuff goes down, like a whole nother, you know, virus outbreak, or someone tries to attack our country, or something's happening, like, we need to be able to, for example, make masks in America so that we are not just dependent on China to make our medical masks and ventilators and whatever else, whatever other medical necessities or things that, like, in a crisis that we would need if there was some type of, you know, emergency. I really believe that. And I think, like, back to my family fighting for our freedom, I really believe that it's on us now, that we are this, like, new military. We're the people, right? We are the people that this nation was founded upon. We are the ones that have the constitutional rights. And let me tell you that if you don't know that they are God-given, they are not given by man. So, like, no man can take them. No man can take what they did not give. And so it's really come to that in this country where people just aren't aware of their rights. And a lot of people are speculating that, like, cursive isn't taught anymore in schools. I heard that it might be coming back, but that cursive stopped being taught because they don't want us to read our founding documents and all these things and know our rights and all this stuff. I don't know if that's true, but what I will say is, like, they're cutting out recess. They're cutting out art. They're cutting out all of the things that the kids need to grow and to learn and to be well-rounded individuals, right? And all I'm saying is, like, other countries, we can learn so much from them, but we need to be self-sufficient here. We need to be able to, like, take care of our own and take care of ourselves and really fight for that freedom, because we are different than other countries. You know, we haven't surrendered all of our arms. We haven't, and it's a darn good thing, too, because I just saw this little reminder, like, a week ago, this past week, and it was, like, it was posted by someone in the movement, but the point is, it was, like, hey, this Texan who owned this property, he had this standoff with, like, the government or the police or something like that, and basically, he had the same weapons as them, and so, like, he ended, it ended up going to court, but before it could even get to court, it was, like, this head-to-head situation where they wanted his property, or they wanted him to surrender, and he was like, no, I'm not doing it. Like, this is my personal property. So lo and behold, it goes to court. I wish the guy knew the guy's name, but I'll try to find it out for you guys for next week. But anyway, lo and behold, it goes to court, and the guy wins, because they were like, hey, you guys can't be on his property or shooting at him or trying to get him to stand down or whatever. Like, that's his personal property, and he has every right to defend it and stuff like that. I'm like, yes, like, that is exactly what I'm talking about. So, like, it was the best situation ever, because they had the same guns, they had the same situation. And he was like, no, I'm defending me and my family and our property. And like, nobody got hurt in that fiasco, thank goodness. But the point is, like, we have to be ready. You know, we have to be connected. We have to be working together, whether that's pulling your kids out of school because you just don't agree with what's going on. I don't know about the masks. I'm not sure, because they're taking away art, they're taking away recess, they're just making our kids sit in desks, they're making them 6 feet apart, they're traumatizing children, you know, telling them be scared of everything, like, sanitize, like, oh, you know, like, be scared of all germs. But it's just, it's gotten to the point where it's just insanity, you know, and, like, that's how we build healthy immune systems, is exposure to bugs. Like, if we never got exposed to a bug, then we would be at risk, because we never had any exposure to any type of, you know, pathogens. And so truly, that is how immune systems are built. They're made to develop over time. And that's how God made us. And I love that, because it's so amazing, because, yeah, you might catch something in your lifetime, sure. But, like, if you're building your immune system properly, even as you're around more and more, you're going to be stronger and stronger. And instead of this this fearful kind of mindset that everyone has at this time, where it's like, we don't want any kind of cold or flu or anything, like, we just want to be healthy at all times, which is, like, all, I mean, staying home for an entire year, like, there's literally people, you guys, who have not left their houses in an entire year because of fear, and I'm just like, that's not healthy either, right? Like, that's not even mentally healthy or physically healthy. Like, by the time you go outside, like, I sure hope to God they're getting some vitamin D in the backyard or something, at least fresh air, you know what I mean? Like, does the body good? Like, vitamins, I mean, just anything. I just hope, you know, to bring some hope to some people, because, man, for a death rate of 0.1, okay, I'm talking 0.1, that is the mortality rate, both in Texas, which is where I live, and in this country. And so you're like, okay, 99.9% of people, even if they catch COVID, they're making it and they're able to, like, survive this thing. I'm seriously concerned about these people that are thinking, like, we'll just stay home for a year. Like, I'm telling you. And I mean, meanwhile, of course, you know, mental health has gone skyrocketed up, you know, more mental health and suicide cases in this past year than so long. Like, I mean, it's astronomical, and it's heartbreaking. A lot of them are children that are committing suicides because they're just so distant from their friends, and they don't have anyone, and they're heartbroken, or they have to go to school in masks, or maybe they can't wear a mask, and people are making fun of them. And, like, since when do we just become really shitty human beings, like, to each other, you know? Like, maybe that person has a medical condition, whether it's an adult or a child, and they can't wear a mask. Maybe they've been forcibly raped. Maybe they've had PTSD. I mean, I can't tell you how many people I have fought for freedom for over this past year, where there was veterans who have fought for our freedom in Iraq and, like, cannot wear a mask. They're literally triggered, And it's just heartbreaking to me that they would go through all this and they would fight for our freedom in other countries, and yet here on our own soil be losing their freedoms. And some of them willingly, like, yeah, let's, like, do this thing. I mean, I don't know how they convinced all these people to do that for a virus that's literally, like, over 99%, you know, survivable. But it's shocking to me, and it's literally, you know, I mean, and if you want to wear a mask and you feel more safe and comfortable that way, by all means, okay? But we're all here, hopefully, to support the idea that the government has no business enforcing or forcing the people to do that. They have no business forcing you to get a vaccine. They have no business forcing something on your face. The government has no business ruling over the people. It is the people who the government works for, right? We are the people. We are the ones that have the power. The power is in the people. And it should be that way. That's how our country was different. It's how we're built. It's how we're made. And it's what we need to cling to in times where everything's kind of a little muddled, like, am I really being a good Christian because I might be, you know, not wearing a mask and other people see that as offensive. And so shouldn't I be all things to all people? Or, you know, people can say things in such a confusing manner that you're like, oh my gosh, like maybe I am doing the wrong thing. And like, no, like you actually would be buying into a lie telling them to wear a mask. It's not actually protecting them from a virus, right? Because the virus can go through your gator. It can go through your t-shirts. It can go through your mask that you made at home. It can go through the surgical mask, the blue ones, the black ones, the yellow ones. It can go through those things. And so if people are under the impression that that is actually protecting against viruses, when 1,000 COVID viruses can actually fit through every single hole in that mask, and that's the data, that's the science, then I don't want to lie to people. You know, it's like if people feel safer and they want to, or if somebody was sick and they were coughing all over the place, sure, like that makes sense. That actually makes sense because they're coughing. You know, you don't want their droplets like going places if they're sick. But healthy individuals don't need to be termed asymptomatic carriers because they might just be healthy. They might just be healthy individuals walking around breathing God-given air. And whoever in their right mind thought that we would have to fight to breathe, you know, air. I'm like, doesn't it just sound ludicrous? But we have to fight for our freedom. And if we don't fight back now, we will be the last generation to know America as a free country. And if we don't take our country back and defend our constitutional liberties, we won't be leaving a legacy of freedom to our future generations. And that is so important to me. And I know it's important to you guys, too. That's why you're listening. So I'm so glad that you're here. And I just wanted to let you know that it's always a crazy week in freedom. I'm always finding out all these different things. And I'm literally working my tail off. Most of you probably do know that I'm actually a nurse, an ICU nurse. And so I'm super busy, working on the front lines, doing ICU care and things like that. But there's a couple of things that I wanted to address. Hang on just one second. So for those of you who didn't know or didn't listen last week, you know, the governor of Florida, DeSantis, he signed into executive order an executive order, saying that there would be no vaccine passports. And he is pushing through legislation to say that they will never have vaccine passports in Florida, which is awesome. And I wish, you know, in Texas we did something similar, but what I wish he would have done was protect the Texans just a little bit better. So DeSantis actually signed an executive order that was better than what Texas did, in my opinion, based on the fact that he actually told the businesses that they also cannot demand a vaccine passport, whereas Texas usually gives the rights to the businesses as well, that if they wanted to make somebody have to have a vaccine passport to shop there, they could. And so, you know, Floridians would be protected where the businesses can't actually force them to do that, whereas the Texas government will give the rights of that to the businesses, it sounds like. And that is unfortunate. But what they did was write a caveat in there that if you receive any kind of public funding or any type of government money or any type of loans from the government or anything like that, that you can't do that. And so that is helpful in itself because, you know, if they accepted any money from the government or anything like that, they can't mandate that. But the ones that didn't, you know, and the ones that haven't, they would be in their right, I guess, you know, according to this executive order, that they would be able to enforce people getting a vaccine passport to shop there or to, you know, buy from their place of business. I completely disagree with that. I think it's discriminatory. I think it literally forces us into a, you know, I mean, it's kind of like you go to apply for a job, right? And it says, you know, cannot base this on race, sex, gender, da-da-da-da, right? Go through, like, the whole list. And I swear we need to have added on there, like, you know, medical preferences or medical choices, vaccination status, or whatever you need added there. But we just really need to focus on, you know, protecting the rights of the people. And it's very, very critical, because if we don't, we're going to be in a heap of trouble. Hang on just 1 second. I found like a article earlier that talked about different states and legislation, and I may or may not be able to find it right now, y'all. I'm sorry. I meant to take a snapshot of it, but hang on just a second. Let me try to find it. Okay. I meant to actually post it, but y'all, I've been working my tail off the past several days in ICU, and I don't have time to get on my phone. So when I see something after work, it's been like a 17-hour day, and sometimes I'm literally like just seeing something for the first time or whatever. Anyway, this week, though, if you guys are on United States for Medical Freedom on Telegram, you guys saw me posting this video from this girl who was talking about Canada and how they were trying to get people to sign up for the vaccine by, you know, offering $25,000 to participate in some expert panel, and 20 finalists could, you know, qualify, and here's the criteria and all these things. So basically, like, giving money out for people who would be willing to go and do these things. But it's pretty sad, like, the requirements or just what they expect you to tell people. So hang on just 1 second. I can't play the video for y'all because it's not going to work out. She has some written things. Okay, 4 messages that can increase the uptake of COVID-19 vaccines, okay? 4 messages that can increase people getting the COVID-19 vaccine. So bear with me. I'm going to go through it. Number 1, your loved ones need you. Get the COVID-19 vaccine to make sure that you can be there for them. Helping loved ones tapped into people's desire to protect and support their friends and family. It made it clear that vaccinating yourself can help your loved ones while being careful not to overstate the vaccine's power to actually reduce or eliminate transmission. In other words, lie to them, right? Because it doesn't actually reduce transmission, but just tell them, like, it's better because you'll still be around, or you'll still be able to be around your family. Doctors and nurses have decided to get the COVID-19 vaccine. Now they recommend that you do too. Talk to your doctor to find out more about why it's right for you. This is number 2. Approved by healthcare workers. Use the credibility and authority of a healthcare worker as a trusted messenger. The message emphasizes how most people have demonstrated confidence in the vaccine by taking it. Well, vaccines have obviously been demonstrated by lots, but you've seen how they don't actually get the vaccine sometimes, and it's just kind of a, you know, big joke. Now we have the chance to return to the people and places we love. Let's get our lives back again. Sign up to get the COVID-19 vaccine. Getting your life back draws on the powerful motivation to return to the activities and the people that they are missing without promising that life will ever fully go back to normal. Basically, convince them that they can get their life back and motivate to return to the activities and the people that they're missing without promising that they'll actually ever go back to any type of normalcy. Oh, just wonderful. I don't know what the last one was or if I missed one, but I can't get the video to pop up for that last one. But anyway, the point is, that was what's her face or something. And if you go on to United States for Medical Freedom on Telegram, I posted the entire video. You can listen to it. But basically, Canada's launching like a come get your COVID-19 vaccine, and here's all the reasons why you should get it and all that stuff, like the money and everything, of course. And then on top of that, everything else is happening. But it's really sad because they want to convince people, like, hey, let's get back to normal, go get your vaccine. And then we know here it's very similar because they're trying to pass, like, $1 billion of legislation to convince everyone that vaccines are safe and effective, because they see that it's about 50-50 right now where people are, like, questioning. You know, even lifelong vaxxers are questioning, like, is there something to this? Like, especially because of COVID, they're like, I don't know if I really want to go get this vaccine that hasn't been, you know, no long-term studies, and we're all just kind of, like, participating in a clinical trial, and I don't really want to sign up for a clinical trial. I know a lot of pro-vaccine people who are like, I don't want a COVID vaccine, or, you know, I want to wait until there's at least 5 years of research or something like that, you know? So yeah, I'm not saying to get it or not get it, but at the same time, I do know that you're enrolling in a clinical trial, and I hope that you're aware of that, because the people who don't know that, they need to know that there's not enough science behind these things. There is no proof that they actually get rid of COVID or that they prevent transmission or replication of the virus at all. So they're not even tracking some of that. It's kind of ridiculous, actually. But on the CDC phone call with the FDA and everything like that, they actually addressed that for the doctors and said that they're not tracking those things and that they don't have any data on whether or not it actually prevents transmission or replication of the virus. I mean, I'm not exactly sure what it does do in a sense. I really don't know much, and I don't even know if they know exactly what it does do, especially because there's no long-term data. So does it cause infertility? I know that a ex-head researcher of Pfizer has a lot of concerns, and he used to work for Pfizer, and he has a lot of concerns that this vaccine could potentially make someone infertile, or it's possible that it can cause, you know, sterility. And so becoming sterile and not being able to have children is a big risk, right? I mean, especially if you have little girls. I have 3 little girls, and I can't imagine if I injected them with something and they weren't able to have children one day because of me. Like, oh my gosh, that would be heartbreaking. I mean, we already have like 1 in 5 infertility right now in the country. So I can't even imagine making that even more real to my own situation. I would, you know, never want to forgive myself. Can you imagine if you accidentally sterilize your child and they could never have children because of something that you chose, because you chose to enroll them in a clinical trial because everyone made you feel like you should? Like, that's crazy. And we don't know any lifelong damage, cancers and things that could come down the line because of these things. So I'm not saying don't, I'm just saying, like, I'm super cautious when it comes to those things. And I like the science to be there. And I know a lot of people who feel the same way who are pro and anti-vaccine both ways. As far as pathogenic priming, you know, one of my very good friends, James Lyons Weiler, he actually has been working on pathogenic priming data, like science. And so he's got, you know, a website where he goes into all of that. And hang on just a second. So blood clotting needs to be watched with all COVID vaccines. The Association of American Physicians and Surgeons, they said that more than a dozen countries worldwide temporarily stopped the Oxford AstraZeneca COVID vaccine because of blood clotting issues. It was causing clotting. As far as the pathogenic priming, many of you guys don't know what that is, but pathogenic priming just means that it can cause a storm inside the body once the body is actually presented back with the original virus. So, for example, back in when COVID was originally being made into a vaccine, like back into the 70s, I believe, they found that they injected the ferrets and everything like that, and they were okay. But what happened was they subjected that ferret, those ferrets, back into the wild virus that they had basically been primed to react, so that when the wild virus came back around and they got resubmitted back into that wild virus, they all died. And so it wasn't the vaccine technically that killed them, but what the vaccine did was cause an immune enhancement. It was like almost like an autoimmune response where it just it wouldn't stop responding, and it was like inflammatory, and it caused so much damage. So Harvard University and Boston General Hospital have confirmed my friend, who's the doctor, James Lyons Weiler, predictions of a likely autoreactive epitope that is in SARS-CoV-2 proteins that leads to pathogenic priming. A year after coining the phrase pathogenic priming to better reflect the reality of disease enhancement from the coronavirus vaccination as an alternative to immune enhancement, I am slammed 18-hour days analyzing epitopes encoded by the modern Pfizer mRNAs. I have a list of autoimmune targets in the body under SARS-CoV-2 exposure, and I have been analyzing epitopes in those as well. I am about two-thirds of the way through all of the targets, and when the analysis is done, we will have a good idea on the following questions. Which proteins in situ have the largest numbers of unsafe epitopes, and what are they? Whether Pfizer or Moderna vaccine mRNAs have more unsafe epitopes? Which autoantibodies might serve as risk factors for predicting both serious COVID-19 and serious adverse events from the COVID-19 vaccines? Which of the vaccine adverse event symptoms were predicted and are explained by my analysis? I may add that an analysis of the proteins from Johnson & Johnson's adenovirus, which is adenovirus 26, clearly another potential source of unsafe epitopes. The entire analysis underscores in detail how some people might be likely to have bad health outcomes. As I plug away at these analyses, you can join in and offer support in the following ways. You can help IPAC by become a monthly science hero, drop by jameslyonsweiler.com and buy me a coffee. Poor guy, he's working his tail off. Drop into the Patreon account, which is patreon.com/WWDNYK, and help Unbreaking Science, keep Unbreaking Science going, and share the message of cutting-edge science in Facebook groups and on your page. Anyway, so that's Dr. Weiler. He has a podcast called Unbreaking Science, and he goes through the science. He's a scientist, so he's great, and a really, really nice guy, very helpful. But he is working on figuring out those things. He's asking questions. He's saying, like, what's going on? How is this affecting the body, the epitopes, all these things. IPAC has sent an invitation to the FDA and the CDC to establish a joint emergency COVID-19 panel to establish a new policy on testing and treatment of COVID-19. We sent the preprint of Dr. Jack's analysis proving that there is more testing increases, that more testing increases the false positive rate. This specific result is far worse than that more testing leads to more cases. It means that the more testing that is done leads to a greater percent of the diagnosis being false positive. This is huge. It means that under the CDC's paradigm of COVID-19 cases and death determination, indiscriminate testing is harmful to the population. Why diagnose efforts? None of this would have been possible without support, and that's his IPACknowledge.org. So he has IPAC. So he's challenging the FDA and the CDC to create a panel based on the fact that they are testing. Because, you know, in a lot of cases, you guys, I'm sure you've heard, but they had, like, you know, a guy die of a heart attack or a guy died in a motor vehicle accident, and they tested their body afterwards for COVID, and they were COVID positive, and so they were counted as a COVID death. Like, but they didn't die from COVID, right? Many, many, many cases that were counted COVID positive and COVID deaths are like that. Not all of them, of course, but many of them. So he's basically letting them know that the more they're testing, the more they're finding false positive rates, and that's dangerous for the population. Okay, sorry, I had to go drink water. All right, y'all. So that's just an update from him. He sends us some little notes here and there and just kind of like gives us updates on what he's been finding, which is great because he's a scientist, so he's looking at this himself and checking into all that. prior infection protective against new variants via memory T cells, US NIAID, March 2021. Spike-only exposure is weak. T cells introduced by COVID-19 infection response to new virus variants. So the T cells are remembering it. So listen, if you've had COVID in the past and it was COVID, even if it's a variant of COVID, it's still remembering. So the T cells are actually remembering the new variants and being able to respond, which is great. And this is exactly what you would hope in a healthy immune system. Just to give you an idea, the T cells are the ones that remember. And so if the T cells have been primed to remember, sometimes they're only primed to remember one variant, but it's saying that it would be able to recognize the new variants as well. So the spike-only exposure is weak. so that's awesome. It's actually the infection. Okay, so just picture yourself getting COVID and you've got like type number one. I'm just going to, we don't call it this, but I'm just saying, let's say you had COVID type number one and you got infected with type number one, and then type number two starts circling around and you're like, oh shoot, well, I didn't get type number two. So think about it like influenza, right? Like there's an influenza A, there's an influenza B, there's an bird flu, H1N1, da, 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 right? So excuse me. So let's say you caught influenza A or COVID type 1 or whatever you want to call it. Then type 2 starts circulating and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm going to get sick all over again. And that's what we've been led to believe is going to happen because you didn't have type 2 the first time around, you had type 1. And so if type 2 comes around, you're going to be at risk all over again and everything. But what they're finding is that the T cells are actually remembering that type 1 is recognizing type 2. And so it is actually going to work for the body, which is specific immunity, not there's two types of immunity, and to get into it, I'd have to like do a whole spiel. But basically, there's innate immunity, which is non-specific. It just goes to work right away. It's for every pathogen. Just it's a general, kind of like a general immune system response, okay? And then we've got specific immunity that will actually be targeted to receptors that are specific to specific viruses. So they were thinking that these specific receptors, like these T cells, would not be able to remember. But they're showing the T cells actually are fighting for the body, even in a variant that's different than what the person originally had. And that is exactly what you would hope in an immune system, is that your immune system is healthy enough to recognize, hey, this isn't exactly like what we had, but it's really similar. And so we're going to go and fight. And that's what you would want. So it's not like 100% accurate, but it is fighters that are getting out there. And it makes sense because, you know, SARS-CoV-1 is, you know, or SARS-CoV-2 is 80% identical to SARS-CoV-1. So let's say you had SARS-CoV-1. Well, it's 80% of the way there. So the T cells are like, hey, you know, we've had something really similar to this. It's 80% of the way there. We're going to go and fight. We're going to help you out and stuff like that. So that will help your body kick it quicker, right? And be able to, like, you know, and then you'll have both types of cells, essentially. But anyway, where they were worried and they're trying to freak people out and say, oh my goodness, like you won't have any fighters going to bat for you. You won't have any help, which just simply isn't true from what they're seeing in the science, in the literature. Hang on just one second. I really want to see if I can find that. Give me a couple. I'm still looking. I ended up finding that. I ended up finding that thing. Where did it go? Let's see if I can find it. Okay, so some people wanted some data on COVID-19 vaccines, okay? So far in VAERS, and VAERS stands for Vaccine Adverse, V-A-E-R-S, Vaccine Adverse Events Reporting System. Okay, sorry about that. But 56,869 COVID-19 adverse events have been reported to VAERS since the beginning through April 2nd. So this is very recent, up until, what, like a week ago? So on there, there's been 2,342 deaths, so 2,342 deaths, about 5,000 hospitalizations, about 9,000 urgent care visits, about 9,000 office visits to the doctor, 412 cases of anaphylaxis, 460 cases of Bell's palsy, 502 heart attacks, 84 miscarriages, 3,145 severe allergic reactions, and 321 cases of thrombocytopenia. Okay. Which puts you at bleeding risk. Let me see if I can find that other. All right, so this is very important. This is something that I was going to come out with and tell my team in Texas, and I haven't had a chance yet, so I'm going to tell you guys first. But basically, the America's Frontline Doctors has come out with a vaccine bill of rights, and this is something that is very, very important to me and hopefully important to you. But they've created a way that you can take what they've written and try to submit that or something very similar in your own state, okay? So I don't know if you're in Texas or wherever you're located, but this is basically going to protect the individual and everything. So this is a resolution urging states to immediately enact a vaccine bill of rights. And this is like sending it to the state is a plea to protect its citizens against unconstitutional measures, right? Against forced vaccines, because even here in Texas, one of the major hospital systems in Houston, Texas, is saying, well, you have to get your COVID vaccine to work here. And we're already like, what? Like, it's still emergency use. It's still enrolling in a clinical trial. You can't force people to do that. And the caveat was, well, unless they have some vaccine exemption that they have to qualify for or that they have to get filled out. And it's kind of like, we're not exactly sure what an exemption is like because we have them here for the state, but it's not on our state exemption for COVID-19. So that's going to be a conversation that I have to speak with that hospital system and try to figure out, you know, what's going on. And then also our state and try to figure out, like, are they going to intend on putting that on the vaccine exemption forms? You know, we don't even have influenza on that form. And that's something that should have been done years ago. You know, some of these groups have been around for 5, 6, 7 years. And I can't even believe that they don't have influenza on the vaccine exemption form. I can't even believe that we haven't gotten rid of that exemption form because I shouldn't need a form to say no, that me or my child don't want to receive a vaccine. Like, my no should be sufficient. And I shouldn't have to beg the state in order to grant me that permission. That's beyond ridiculous, in my opinion. However, we are where we are, and so recognizing that and having to move forward from here, we have a lot of work to do. And this is Texas, of course, and this is every state because every state has exemptions except California and New York. They pretty much lost all of their exemptions, and even their doctors have lost the rights to provide medical exemptions for their people, which is super sad and absolutely ridiculous in my opinion. But that's what, you know, states are going through right now, and it's crazy. So they came up with this vaccine bill of rights, and so if you want to go to the AmericanFrontlineDoctors.com, they have the vaccine bill of rights on there. You can sign their petition, but also they they're talking about the safety, they're talking about choice, they're talking about vaccine passports. It's basically just one way you could take and put it before, you know, your legislators and say, listen, you need to protect vaccine rights, and doing it this way is, you know, asking your state legislators to support a vaccine bill of rights or even just a privacy bill of rights or protecting patient rights. Like, I want to protect patient rights, not even just vaccines, but just in general. Like, the fact that we need to be able to say no in medicine is very, very important to me, whether it's about a medication that you just don't want to receive or a risk that you don't want to take with your child or yourself or something like that. Like, I do not think it's right that they believe that they have the right to, like, force you to take certain medications, to take certain products. Coercion is just rampant in this industry right now, and it's because of money. It truly is. It's disgusting to me, and it needs to stop. But once they, you know, give extra benefits for, let's say, doctors having a fully vaccinated practice, that have bonuses that are like $200,000 sometimes a year from pharma. Like, that's a conflict of interest. You're literally recommending all of these things to all these children because you get a kickback at the end of the year. Like, that's disgusting to me. And it has to change. And one of the ways you can change that would be switching to a family practice medicine doctor, because they are not as quite as demanding in that way, but also finding someone who has your beliefs in mind, like someone who respects autonomy, whether they're pro-vaccine or anti-vaccine or whatever the situation is. If they're going to respect you, and United States for Medical Freedom is strong on this, and in the future, the idea would be to do business with the doctors that will respect your freedom and autonomy, and you can belong to the membership or something like that and have access to these doctors that will respect your autonomy. They're not going to necessarily not educate you. Like, they want to educate you if they believe in vaccines and they're telling you about these things, or if they – but they're going to allow you freedom of choice, like whether or not – this. I mean – as a nurse, you guys have to understand that whether or not I agree with your decision doesn't matter. It truly does not matter. I will educate you to the very best of my ability and give you informed consent, which is your right and my duty. However, if you make a choice, even if I disagree with it, it is irrelevant. So I hope that you guys stand in that, because that is the truth. And the truth is, I don't have to agree with your decision to support you in your decision, because that's my job as a nurse. My job is to advocate for your rights. My job is to advocate for you. And I actually do this on the side. Many of you guys know that people have started calling me the nurse advocate, because I literally call hospitals and help people. And I work with them and their families and help them figure out and navigate this system that is very – sometimes very corrupt, but I love it too, because it can help a lot of people, and I've been able to help a lot of people. So I'm just one person, but I've been able to help probably thousands of people in the past 2 years, but especially since COVID, like hundreds at least of people, hundreds of people and family members and their friends, and everybody will contact me, even though Facebook kicked me off, and even though Messenger is like, I'm disconnected from so many people, I've still been able to impact so many people's lives by helping just educate them and give them information and help them know their rights and be able to, you know, empower themselves and their family members, and to even get access to medications like ivermectin or things like that. So I hope that you guys will spread the word and help me know that I do the nurse advocate on Telegram. It's Lori Jean, the nurse advocate, and United States for Medical Freedom is on there. And if you're in Texas, Texas for Medical Freedom is also on there in a channel. We also have MeWe groups, and we also have GAD and different things like that, and Parler and stuff, Twitter, US4MF, Instagram, US4MF, stuff like that. So anyway, y'all, the last thing I was going to do is see if I could find this last thing that was like my main topic. And for some reason, I took a picture of it, but I can't find exactly where I had it. But it doesn't help me because I need the whole link. Don't ask me why I didn't just copy the link. But if you guys missed it this week, my friend Lee Dundas, she is amazing, and she's a human rights attorney, and she's awesome. I've spoken to her in the past when I was on Facebook, but since I've been kicked off, I haven't spoken to her in a while. But I will tell you that she goes before, I believe it's a school board, this week, and it was amazing. So I'm going to post that on United States for Medical Freedom Telegram channel and the Nurse Advocate Telegram channel, Lori Jean, the nurse advocate. So check that out. I'll make sure it's only 3 minutes long. It's totally worth your time. She explains how she hasn't forgotten the legacy of her, you know, where she comes from, which was discriminated against, and things like that. It's really, really powerful. It talks about COVID-19 vaccines and everything, forcing them. So she's fighting for us. She's helping, and so awesome. Let's talk about this other. Oh, I might have been able to find it. Give me 1 second, y'all. Okay, Dr. Sherry Tenpenny and Larry Pilevsky, if you don't know who they are, they're amazing. And they have like a critical thinking class. So on Thursday at 7, there's that going on. You can register at drtenpenny.com. That's T-E-N-P-E-N-N-Y, drtenpenny.com. You can register for that. I believe it's free.
It's just information. They are very, very good. She used to be an emergency medicine physician. I think he did as well. I can't remember. His criteria is amazing, though. Like, very, very top of the line. Good doctors to be following. All right. There is, I think I'm almost there. Sorry, y'all. Give me just one more second. Thanks for your patience. Don't hate me. All right. Goodness. All right. I can't find it. Okay, I'm going to find it, and I'm going to post it. So please join Telegram. If you're not on Telegram, I use it the most right now. But, like, join Telegram, join our MeWe groups and stuff like that. So that way, you know, we can keep in contact. Every Sunday night I'm here. Of course, you guys already know that. Thanks for following me and following us and everything. But, you know, people are getting kicked off airplanes this week. Spirit Airlines kicked off a two-year-old that was eating that refused to, you know, wear a mask. It's like a freaking two-year-old, you guys. If you have ever had a two-year-old in your entire life, you know that even if they're, you know, not autistic or anything, like, keeping a mask on them would be a nightmare. But especially if they're autistic. They've been kicking moms with autistic children off. Like, I mean, are you freaking kidding me? It's just absolutely ludicrous. Ooh, I did find this one. In 2014, the government tried to take a cattleman's land over the man's cows were on the land that he owned. The cattleman and his neighbors, armed with the same weapons as the federal officers, stopped the government from doing so, and in this case, took it to the highest of courts. In January 2018, a Supreme Court judge ruled that the government was in the wrong, and the cattleman and his neighbors were justified in their actions. The cattleman was Cliven Bundy, Cliven, C-L-I-V-E-N, Cliven Bundy. His case was silent in the news because it proves the importance of having such guns and the importance of your 2A rights. Woo! Love that. Dude, it gives me goosebumps. It's amazing. All right, hang on. Hang on. Goodness. Okay, I swear I will find it, but it is like all 50 states and what's going on as far as like the vaccine mandates and, you know, upcoming legislation in all 50 states and things like that, okay? So, adverse events, no, this isn't it. Guys, I will find it and I will post it, I promise. It's going to take me a little bit longer, and I'm sorry for not having that because I really wanted to talk about that tonight, but it's okay. And I'm going to keep you guys posted for what's going on in Texas, but also make sure you guys go to N as in Nancy, V as in Victor, I as in ice cream, C as in cat, NVICAdvocacy.org. NVICAdvocacy.org. A lot of our medical freedom bills are on there. Ones to oppose, ones to support. That is a great way to keep in contact with every state and what's going on, but also especially your own state and being able to fight. You know, we're almost or more than halfway through legislative session in most of our states. Let's keep up the good fight. Make sure that you're contacting your legislators to support the bills that protect your vaccine rights and medical freedom and all of your rights. So please, 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 you know, keep posted. I'm going to post that. Well, as soon as I find it, y'all, I promise I will post that. It'll take me a little while to go find it, but please follow me on Telegram. I'm Lori Jean, the nurse advocate on Telegram. And then United States for Medical Freedom has a Telegram channel. You can find it at US4MF and at TX4MF for the Texas one. So we'll join our Telegram channels, join our MeWe groups, United States for Medical Freedom, Texas for Medical Freedom. Find me, Lori Jean, on there. It's the same photo for all of my social media so that you know it's me. So anyway, I hope that you guys got something out of tonight. I hope that you guys will keep fighting, keep resisting, keep, you know, your due diligence as a citizen to fight for our freedom in this nation. We have to take our country back and defend our constitutional liberty. We have to, or we're not going to leave a legacy of freedom to our children. When tyranny becomes law, resistance becomes duty, rebellion becomes duty. It is our duty to fight back, to fight for this freedom. You know, if they made everyone wear a gold star, you know, it's the people that you know, that sheltered Anne Frank. They might have died or something like that, right? But they were doing the right thing. Morally speaking, they were helping those people, trying to save their lives. They were working so hard. You know, I think of Harriet Tubman, and I think of the slaves, and I think of all these people that have gone into the night, you know, sheltering these people, like working so hard to fight for what is right, even if they were, you know, kind of on the wrong side of things, right? Like they would be considered like the rebels and the people not doing the right thing, but they were doing the right thing. They were sticking to their morals and they were doing what was right in the eyes of God. And like, I don't know about you, but I would rather answer to that, what is right in the eyes of God, than what's right in the eyes of my government, especially if that government is being tyrannical, communistic, or whatever. You know, if we all are all going to have to lose jobs over vaccination status or, you know, discriminate others based on these things, I mean, that's not right. So I hope that you guys are with me and you guys are willing to fight for your beliefs. And truly, this is a spiritual battle, not just a physical battle. And for those of you who believe in Jesus, you know who wins in the end, okay? God wins. And we know that. You can have peace. You don't have to wait to have peace. You can have it now. And just in the midst of all of this mess and the chaos and everything, I hope that you find that peace, because you don't need to live your life in fear. You don't. You don't need to walk outside and be so scared of COVID that you can't go out of your home or things like that. Like if you feel more comfortable, wear a mask. You know, be properly wearing the N95 if you're that afraid. Like, please, because I can't lie to you and tell you that a surgical mask is going to do it. It's not. But on the other hand, I hope that you see that 99.9% of people are surviving this, and that everybody thought, like in Texas, oh my gosh, like their mask mandate went away and the cases are going to skyrocket, and we're literally slow as heck. Yeah, I mean, I'm not even kidding you. Our cases went down, you know, and everyone's like, oh my gosh, Texas opened up and cases went down, you know, so there is something to be said for that. And anyway, I love you all so much, and thanks for joining us on Dangerous Freedom, and I'll be back next week with much more information, and I'll make sure to post that stuff soon, so just keep following, and I'll see you guys, or talk to you all next Sunday night, okay? All right. Love you guys. Bye-bye.